Welcome to Kingdom and Life Talk with Barbara. I am a lover of Christ. I'm a wife, a mom, a sister, a daughter, and friend. On this show, we talk about our life in Christ, our lives as wives, as mothers, as sisters, daughters, and friends. This show's aim is to empower and encourage all to have a closer and better relationship with God, themselves, and the community around them. And today, I have a special guest who I'm very, very excited about. She is my mama, my spiritual mama, a great woman of faith. And I am very, very thankful to have her today. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Pastor Tina. Hi, mama. How are you?
I'm doing great. And how are you?
I'm doing okay. I am so excited to have you because, whoa. It has taken the grace of God for us to be here. The enemy has tried all kinds of craziness, but we bless the Lord that we are here. Yes. Mama, I am so thankful to have you in my life. And for the people that don't know you, would you kindly tell us who is Pastor Tina?
My name is Faustina Coffey, and I am a minister of the gospel. I am assistant to a great man of God in the city of Newark, New Jersey. And I love the Lord so dearly.
I am just thankful for your life. And I'm just curious, Mama, how did you get into ministry? And did you grow up in a background that was Christian?
I could say it's two ways, because from my mother's side, my grandmother, who I would say halfly raised us, was not a Christian. But I was so fortunate to have a grandfather who was a Christian. And when I say my grandfather, he was actually a husband to my auntie. But this man never differentiated between his own grandchildren and anyone that lives under his roof. So I will never call him uncle, but he's always our grandfather. That's what we know. And so growing up on that, him, when you wake up, the first thing is he has a set place where we will go and we will read the scripture.
Oh, wow.
And we will pray and sing hymns
right
before you start to sweep the compound or you do anything. That's how every day our day start.
Wow.
And it's so funny that I am talking about this now, because I remember when we were growing up, sometimes we don't want to get up. You know, but he will be there and he will be singing so loud, and he have a very bad voice. And so you cannot sleep by hearing that. You get tired and just get up and go. So it was that foundation that I had that has carried me through. How did I come into ministry? Through the darkest days and season of my life. And I would not trade that for nothing. 2002. And I remember a man of God who came to me and he asked me to take my Bible. I took the Bible and he said, open Romans 8, 20, 28. And when I opened, he said, read. And you all know what that scripture says. All things work together for good. And I'm looking at that man with what I was going through. I remember one time he said, if you know what is inside of you, you will not cry. And he will always keep on calling me great woman, great woman, every time he come to Pastor Mel. And so this is the season how I came into kind of like the veil just fell off for me to know that something is going on with me and the Lord.
And now in the ministry that you're serving in, where would you say that your passion is in? Who are you passionate about?
Oh, Lord. I remember when I realized that, like, the Lord is chasing after me. It's like when God is going after me to the north, I'm running to the to the west or south. You know, but all along, my passion is for young people. And then as I grew in the Lord, my passion became after young women. My passion is for women. And especially women, we are going through some things, but specifically young women.
Okay.
You know, and I love prayer. You know me, I love prayer.
Right.
My passion is prayer, because I totally believe that prayer changes things.
It does. It does.
And counseling, you know, I love to just hear people and share what I can share with them to help them on their journey.
What are some things that you would like to see in women's lives being changed? What are some prayers that you have in, you know, some goals, as I mentioned, that you have for the women?
I realize that there are so many women that we don't know who we are. We don't know what is inside of us.
Mm.
We don't know what we are called to be. And so we are kind of stuck in the journey.
Mm.
So my passion is, my goal is to see women who are stuck in their journey in Christ to get unstuck.
Yes.
Right. You know, to be aware that God truly have gifts in women that they can use whatever they have that God has made available for them, they can use to expand the kingdom.
That is incredible, because I also believe that when women are empowered, their homes are more empowered, their husbands are better, their children are better, the society is better. So it's really great that is the area that the Lord has called you into. So Mama, one of the things that connects you and I, we have something in common, and it is that we both lost our parents at a young age. So actually, today I would like us to shift the focus a little bit and talk about how the kind of effect that comes on children that lose their parents at a young age. And maybe you can also share a little bit about your story as to how you learned about your parents passing and how that affected you as a little girl.
Actually, I can say that before I even know my name, I was an orphan because I did not know my mom. You know, and probably I might be two or maybe less when she passed. And then I know my father a little bit. Maybe he passed like around four when I was like age four. But one thing that sticks with me was when that was alive, it's like I was like a spoiled child. Anything I say I want, daddy is running to get it. And I was very picky in eating, and I would say I want this, he will get it for me.
Right.
And then he come back and I said, I don't want it anymore. He will get it. Oh. It's always like going to the extreme. But as a child, I did not know.
Yeah.
You know, but I get to find out probably because he realized mom wasn't there. He was trying to do his best to give me everything that I needed.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, one day, I quite remember, it's like I'm talking to you now, it's like a video on my face. And I saw in the family house a lot of people, and daddy was laid in state. Now I know he was laid in state. All I know, he was laying on a bed, and he has this long chain from the neck all the way to his ankle. And then everybody was crying. And so I was asking, a woman had me on, like in her bosom, and I was asking, I said, why is daddy not waking up? You know, and he said he was sleeping. And I said, if he's sleeping, why everybody crying? You know, so I did not get real clarity, and nobody really talked about it. But all the next thing I knew, my journey had changed from where I was living into this grandpa's house, which is in the countryside. And so I realized that even being there with the kind of love that I had from that man, still there as you grow up as an orphan, you go through so much. Especially the impact of your parents not being there. The spirit of rejection. You feel unloved. You know, you're seeking mothers, you're seeking somebody to be a mother to you, you're seeking fatherly love, and you are always seeking for acceptance and care.
Right.
And unfortunately, I realized that most people who have gone through that, if God's grace is not there, you end up looking at the wrong places, and you end up falling in the hands of whether women or men. Wrong hands.
Wrong hands, yeah.
you know, and those individuals can sometimes take advantage of you, and you don't really have a clear direction of what your where your life is going. That's where I am so passionate for women, you know, in that young age, because somebody have to navigate you. Life is so complicated.
It is complicated.
You know, and is the work of the parents to be able to navigate pertaining to the gift they see in you and say, okay, I see you can be a carpenter. Can you just go to the school? Or you can be a scientist. Can you pursue this? But when your parents are not there, you lack that direction. And unfortunately, if God's grace is not there, you go through life and it's latter age before you will find somebody who will be able to yank you under their wings and say, this is what you need to do. I will support you. Go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is so true. So how can adult children, just transitioning from that young age, you have parents that are, you know, taking care of you prayerfully, you know, and leading you the right way. But how is an adult now, how can adult children adopt from adoption, and what can help with the transition now from just being children who are somebody who is taking care of you to now being on your own?
I think one thing I can say is, Barbara, genuine love. And when I say genuine love, I mean love without attachments. You know, you're helping the person because you have found a need. And you are meeting that need in the person's life. I look at it this way, and this is something my brother told me. He said the best investment you can do in this world is to invest in human beings. And so I look at it, if the person who is already a young woman or getting to that age can get somebody who will love them genuinely. The transition becomes so easy when that person become a parent themselves. But when you don't have that, and you have like you living under a roof where like under a dictatorship or something, or the expectation on you become overwhelming. And sometimes all you will hear is don't do this, don't do don't this. But you don't hear do this. Right? It becomes so difficult to transition. So I will say the best thing is genuine love without attachments.
Thank you for sharing that. And what can you say about just transitioning a little bit from physical adoption to spiritual adoption? What can you talk about when it comes to spiritual adoptions, especially to people that have been hurt by physical adoption? And now, as you said, they're finding people maybe in the church to love them, people a space to call their own. What can you speak about a spiritual adoption and spiritual family?
What I can say about spiritual adoption, thank you for saying that. One of the things I've noticed in the church at large is you have so many who are calling themselves spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. But if you look at physical adoption, it's a very serious transition from where the person used to be to where now the person can be. You take on a new name. If let's say I adopted you, you will take my last name. I take on all the responsibility for you that as a child. I think it had to be transitioned into the spiritual spiritual life as well. So what are the things that the child need, the young one need spiritually? That means you are going to take them on, that you are going to be there for them prayerfully. Number one, you are going to be able to see their gift, identify their gift, and advise them, you know, advise them pertaining to their gift. I believe so much that what the Bible says is so true. Your gift will make room for you.
Yes, that's true.
And so if somebody can identify your gift and encourage you and support you with prayer, it will help you to be able to navigate through the spiritual life. Well, as much as the physical life is difficult, the spiritual life is more complicated.
It is, yeah.
Right? And so I believe that the spiritual fathers and the mothers don't just have to be there where the young ones have to like serve them or some kind of accolade to say, oh, these are my spiritual children because they're doing good, you know, or because they have a platform or that. No, we have to know them like it's your own child. You know, do you know what caused them to be sad? Do you know what makes them happy? Do you know their birthdays? When holidays comes, that is the most challenging times for those who don't have the parent. Do you remember them? Invite them into your home to have a family dinner.
Right.
All those different occasions. Do you remember them to send them a card? Hey, happy birthday. Or if you can't remember their birthday, do you remember them when it's Mother's Day, if they started having kids, right? All those occasions that family come together, remember, these individuals do not have the parent.
Those are great points. We are living in such an interesting time where even outside of adoption, just in general, people are losing loved ones, especially with the pandemic and just life in general. As we close off, Mama, and I know that you and I can definitely go back and expand on this topic at another time. What would you say to someone that is in a mourning season, to someone that has lost a loved one and they feel like the world is coming to an end? You and I have experienced grief and the seasons that is grief. Mama died many years ago, but there are things that trigger me and I remember, and then I go from 1,000 to zero. What are some practical ways that have helped you overcome grief over the years? Because I'm sure there are probably, as I said, things that trigger you, remind you of your mom, remind you of your dad. And where can they look to in seasons where they feel like, I cannot do this?
I want to give that individual or that young person, a boy or a girl, a young woman or a young man, hope that do not expect so much from people because people will disappoint you, number one. Know that you are loved because the best adoption you can think of is what the Lord did for us through Jesus Christ. And so when you go into that difficulty, know that God loves you.
Yeah.
All right. Know that God loves you. Number two, have ears to listen. All right. To listen to yourself. Do not deny that grieving process that you are going to through. Reach out to somebody genuinely that you know that person will have ears to listen to you. Do not think that that's the end of life because it's not true. Your life matters to God. Remember, you are precious in the sight of God. And the enemy will give you a thought when you're going through that grieving process. Example, Mother's Day. Maybe somebody listening to watch, you lost your mother during this pandemic. And Mother's Day is coming. And you see all those things on the television. People with their mothers and all the things people put on social media. Create your own. All right? Get that space where you can be able to create your own. And it make you, what will make you feel like you are not missing what the enemy wants you to miss.
Yes.
Right? You can call a friend and just go out, right? Or you can choose to make that day a special day for you. If you are a mother, don't cry about your mother that is not there. Look at your children, how you can give to them. Because I believe that giving is more powerful than even what you're wishing to receive.
Yeah.
All right. So make that occasion special. It doesn't have to have too much money, you know. And if you are, it's your father, find somebody who is not going to take advantage of you. That person can be a spiritual brother, but it can be like a father. I have one spiritual brother, my goodness. He is so genuine. You know, when I was going to get married, he was there giving me advice like my father.
Right, yeah.
You know, so tap into those that you can trust and be content with what you get from them. Also, be realistic that society is changing. You know your boundaries. Sometimes people will open their heart to you, and we are so vulnerable because the parents are not there. It's quick for us to trust and to open ourselves quickly.
Yeah.
But make sure that you have boundaries, all right? And give room for mistakes. And learn from your mistakes. Don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Create a loving place, you know, for yourself. And hold on to that respectful relationship. I didn't say relationships. I said respectful. Amen. Because some people will not, although because they are going to help you in this journey, they don't want to respect you, your boundaries.
Yes.
You know, but hold on to those respectful. Although I call you my daughter, that does not mean I will call you 12 a.m. and say, oh, can you see what is going on? No. It doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
You know, all my expectation from you had to be constantly looking for. No. If you see those things, then you had to pull back. You know, I will end with this. There was a man that the Lord put on my heart in my old church to go and approach him to be my spiritual father.
Okay.
And I pray about it. And I went to him. The first thing he said to me, he said, it will be a privilege for me to be your father.
Right.
Because I see you and I know your daddy raised you well.
Mm.
He's an African American. He's a reverend. And I am here coming from Africa. You know, and every time, I never been to his house, let me say that. But every time I walk into the sanctuary, this man will speak life into me.
Amen.
And I will say I'm here today because I would have made so many mistakes, but this man keep on speaking. You know, and when I was at the place I needed her, he went to the 9 yards to make sure that he connects me with people who can help me at that time. Those are the people you have to cherish.
Amen. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And so if you are going through, don't let the enemy place that thought that you are useless or you don't. Like you don't count in life. It's a lie.
It's a lie. The devil is
all right. Lie. Don't feed on those thoughts, because if you feed on those thoughts, you are just, it's like pregnancy. Whatever you're giving attention to, it's gonna grow. Right? And pregnancy will go till 9 months. Yes. That little thought the devil is telling you, oh, you look at you, you no, amount to nothing. Or you went to all this school, look at where you are. Or if your mother is here, you wouldn't have been. Don't give it a thought. Because that will grow and you will end up getting pregnant with it. And you will birth, the things that will come out of you will be despair, anger, frustration, bitterness. And it will hold you back. You know, but don't let those thoughts, God gives a command, the enemy will give you a thought. God gave promises. He said, I love you for who you are. Come as you are, whether you are orphan or you have parents, I love you. And he's a father to the fatherless. So hold on to the promises of God. And do not let the enemy thoughts mean a thing to you. Whenever he brings a thought to you, I always tell people, tell him it's a lie.
He's a liar. He is a liar. Absolutely a liar. He is a liar. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. In honor of your time, because you have another appointment, would you kindly pray for us, and specifically pray for those that are adopted and going through the transition and phases of finding peace with it, and pray for people that have lost loved ones, with the encouragement that you have shared, that the Lord would work on their hearts, their minds, and would remind them more than anything that they have a Father in heaven who loves them. Who'll never forsake
amen.
Them. And
amen.
Then we'll cross.
Amen. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Everlasting God, we are so grateful to you. We come humbly, but boldly you have invited us to your throne room. We are so privileged to be called your daughters and your sons. Father, thank you for this opportunity you gave us in life, that we have, you have carried us through the waters. You have carried us through the valleys and the mountains. We thank you that it is not about us, because you know that this day will come whereby our challenges will be a tool in your hand to help somebody. So, Father, we lift up every single young man, young woman, boy or girl out there who has lost, whether they lost one parent or both, we pray that you comfort them. Above all, Father, as you gave me and as you gave Barbara, all the people you brought into our lives, we ask that you do the same for them. Bring people who will genuinely love them. Bring people who will care for them like their parents would do. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, anyone that will come into their life to add more pain onto already the trouble they are going through, may you please remove them in their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for your peace, Lord, that when they're going through these challenges, they will know that your promises are yes and amen. You said when we go through the fire, you will be there. You never promises that you are going to leave us. You said the fire will not burn us. In the flood, you are there because, Lord, your spirit is living on the inside of us. So wherever we are, you are there. I thank you that, Lord, everyone that to hear this, when the enemy is telling them to take their lives, when the enemy is telling them to throw in the towel, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, may you, oh God, rebuke the enemy for their sake and lift them up. Those who are head, their heads are bowed down. Lift up their heads. Let them know that you will continue to be a father for them in the name of Jesus. We are not just praying for those who loved ones have left this world. There are so many people out there who parents are here alive, but they are worse than not having a parent. Lord, we pray that you reach out to those people as well and let them know that even if their parents are forsaking them, Lord, you have not forsaken them, and give them the joy to come and know you, that you are a good father. That is who you are, a good father, that you will be there and your promises will come to pass in their lives. Give them hope and let this hope never put them to shame in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We bless you. Bless this ministry, Father, and let it continue to bless others who are in need of whatever is shared on this platform. We thank you and we bless you. Have your way, Father. Have your absolute way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.